Our last case for argument, United States v. Moses. Mr. Cronin.
May it please the court, counsel. My name is Dan Cronin. I'm an assistant federal public defender from East St. Louis, Illinois, and I represented Jason Moses in the proceedings in the district court. The heart of our argument on appeal is that the district court erred by applying Section 2K2.4 of the guidelines in the way that this court had affirmed in U.S. v.
Biden. I think he applied the guidelines, right? I mean, didn't he make very clear that he was giving a non-guideline sentence? And isn't that what the Supreme Court now permits under Booker and Gaul and so on, right?
Your Honor,
he explained in great detail why he thought that the bomb should be treated as a separate sentencing factor. And why isn't that fine now?
The reason, Your Honor, is because Gaul requires the district court to start with a properly calculated guideline range as the benchmark.
That's for cases in which the guideline sentence anchors. So I heard a case Wednesday where the judge gave a non-guideline sentence, 293 months, and trying to figure out how he got into that number. And it turned out that was two levels above the guidelines range. So clearly, he had taken the guidelines range as his starting point, and then he went up. And if he'd gotten the guidelines range wrong, that would have been significant, since he was using it as the basis. But the judge here was not using anything in the guidelines as his starting point. He was giving a non-guideline sentence and explaining exactly why. And if the sentence complies fully, as I think it does, with 3553A, what's the point of sending it back? He's just going to say, well, of course, I knew it wasn't a guideline sentence, but I thought it was justified by the statutory factors, which is fine.
Your Honor, I believe that the problem with that is that in explaining the ways in which the statutory factors justified the sentence he imposed, he referred time and time again to the inadequacy of the guidelines
right.
on the particular points
right.
he was
precisely.
Raising.
Precisely. We know that he doesn't buy what the guidelines say about the bomb gun situation. He thinks the bomb, and in fact he thinks, and he gave a reason why he thought the bomb and the firearm really had separate intimidating effects in this case. He used the firearm to bolster his threat. It wasn't just duplication. It wasn't just like having two guns or something like that. So so he's done all the analysis that he's supposed to do, really. I don't see what difference it would make if he'd computed a guideline sentence.
The analysis is flawed because it doesn't take into account that the Sentencing Commission, through Amendment 599...
He disagrees with the Sentencing Commission, and that clearly is what the Supreme Court permits him to do. It's not as if he said, I haven't read the guidelines, I don't know what they say. No, he knows what they say and doesn't like it. He thinks there should be a separate enhancement for the bomb. So what more do you want from him?
Well, in answering, I need to draw the distinction between he certainly doesn't like what the commission comes up with as the guideline range, and he goes above that based on statutory factors, as he's permitted to do.
Well, but guidelines are ambiguous as applied to the circumstance presented here. And, you know, the judge even said that, you know, we might reverse it on the guidelines issue, and that's why he relied on the 3553A, you know, to take into account the added threat. I mean, he really seems to have done a very good job here.
Well, he was very thorough, and I wouldn't deny that for a minute, but that thoroughness was tainted by a misunderstanding of the Sentencing Commission's view on whether or not there should be an incremental approach taken.
He understood it only too well and disagreed with it.
Yeah.
Well, my understanding is that he believed that Amendment 599, especially in light of the White decision, which predated that by approximately 3 months, did not preclude the 2K.
But nothing in the guidelines precludes.
Well, our argument...
He said he said that he disagreed with the guidelines.
He disagreed with the guideline range, but he agreed with what he believes.
No, he disagreed. He disagreed that the bomb and the gun should be treated, you know, that the bomb should not enhance the gun.
But his view was that the guidelines permit that.
He said over and over he's not giving a guideline sentence. He knows the guidelines don't permit that.
Your Honor, there's
no other way to read it, right? The court opts to rely on the statute as an alternative to the advisory guidelines.
And, Your Honor, he gave that rationale in the context of saying that, in so many words, I believe that I'm right about how 2K2.4 should be applied, but if I'm wrong, I would reach the same decision above the guidelines anyway based on the statutory factors.
He said there are sufficient distinguishing points about this crime and about the defendant to warrant the court rejecting the guidelines system and imposing the sentence within the statutory framework. He rejected the system. What would we say? Go back to him and say, well, you mean it? You really meant you rejected the system? It's awfully strong language.
No, Your Honor, I believe that would be absurd. But what would not be absurd would be giving Jason Moses the benefit of a correct application of 2K2.4. And then, of course, the district court can analyze the statutory factors.
But he's done it already.
But
why does he have to do it again?
Because in arguing or in reasoning that the statutory factors supported above guideline sentence.
He didn't say that. If he thought the guideline supported his sentence, why would he have said he was rejecting the guideline system?
I don't believe that he was rejecting the guidelines.
He
in
said
total.
He was rejecting the guideline system. What are we supposed to say to the judge? You said you're rejecting the guideline system, but we don't believe you. We think you might have been saying you didn't reject the guideline system.
He identified a number of statutory factors that warranted, in his view, a sentence above the advisory guideline range. But his reasoning assumed that an incremental approach would be appropriate. So if someone had explosives and a gun...
I don't understand you. He said he rejected the sentencing guideline, the guideline system, and you refused to give any weight to that.
No, Your Honor, I believe I
what
do.
What do you think he meant?
I believe he meant that the range under the advisory sentencing guidelines was inadequate to accomplish the statutory factors. And our point is that an above guidelines variance does not justify any incorrect application of specific guideline provisions along the way. That's the heart of our argument, Your Honor.
Okay. Well, thank you, Mr. Cronin. Mr. Garrison?
May it please the Court, my name is Bob Garrison. I'm an assistant U.S. attorney from the Southern District of Illinois assigned to the Criminal Division. I want to make just one point regarding the briefs in this case, and then the United States will stand on its own brief. In the government's brief, the United States pointed out that the appellant was asking this court not only to reject the language in the White decision, which was pre-amendment 599, but also asking it to reject the language in the Catalinic decision written by Judge Evans just two or three months ago, which was post 599. So unless the court is going to reverse the very specific language in the Catalinic decision, in which it requotes the language of White on this very point as being good law, then the appellant defendant is incorrect in saying that this court has a case of first impression on 599's effect here, because you have a post-599 decision in Catalinic saying we reaffirm our reasoning in White. And with that one comment, the United States will stand on its brief unless there are any questions from the court.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Garrison.
Mr.
Cronin, how much time does he have? 2 minutes? Yeah. Anything further?
Only on the Catalinic decision, Your Honor. Of course, in Catalinic, this court was saying that United States versus White, among other decisions, did not preclude the court from reversing an incorrect application of 2K2, weapon enhancement, but the express threat of death enhancement. Actually, in some ways, Catalinic supports our position in that it's saying that an incremental approach is incorrect, that the guidelines do not want an incremental approach. Certainly, there's incremental action when someone has a gun and then on top of that makes an explicit threat of death. There was an incremental approach here by Jason Moses in having both the firearm and the fake explosives, but the Sentencing Commission's logic, as shown in the explicit threat of death provision as well, is that the incremental approach is not what the Sentencing Commission is taking. And if there are no further questions, I'll ask.
Thank you very much, Mr. Cronin. And we thank the defenders for handling the case and their efforts on behalf. And, of course, we thank the government as well.